Hi, this is Rob McGinley Myers, an associate producer at Speaking of Faith from American Public Media. In the coming weeks and months, we're exploring questions about the moral and spiritual dimensions of the current economic crisis, and we'll be posing these questions to wise thinkers in the realms of business, education, philosophy, science, and religion. One of the questions we had in mind was how people are thinking in new ways about the ethics of the free market and its emphasis on self-interest. So we turn to the economist Rebecca Blank, co-author of the book, Is the Market Moral? She's a former dean of public policy at the University of Michigan and now a senior fellow at the Brookings Institution. But her economic perspective is infused by the Protestant values she grew up with, including the maxims of John Wesley.
I grew up the child of two Depression babies. So what's the John Wesley maxim? You know, earn all you can, save all you can, give all you can. I don't know about the earn all you can, but certainly the save all you can was a very important part of my background. You know, don't go into debt. Be a little suspicious of bankers. Some of the sort of the mainstream Protestant ideas of how you live your life and what you owe out of your life to other people was a very important part of my family upbringing. Church was not just what you did Sunday morning, but being involved in the community in a whole variety of ways was really part of your religion and something you needed to do. I mean, I did through high school and college and a whole variety of adult education programs get embedded a reasonable amount of Christian theology in my mind prior to attending graduate school in economics. And, you know, economics has a very, very clear model of the world. And I always thought about this as a model of the world. It was inaccurate at times. It had some things to attend it. It was an enormously powerful analytical tool. But it, you know, wasn't a theology. It wasn't a full explanation of the world. I do think there's a very simple model of economics, which is that everyone pursues their self-interest and we end up at this perfect equilibrium. And, you know, that's sort of the beginning model that you start with. But that is no different from the very simple theological model that says, gosh, if we were all just good people, all the problems of the world would go away. The problem is we aren't good people, that it's just, you know, sin intervenes. But if we'd all just be good, and I just think the world is a much more complex place than that. And very often, good people trying to do things that they think are good in a theological and religious sense end up, you know, doing harm to other folks. And in a similar way, there are times when we pursue economic self-interest, we end up with good outcomes, and there are times when we don't. Adam Smith was very clear, and he's writing obviously in a different world than we're in back in 1776, that the economic model that he talked about sat within a larger society. And that larger society had certain strictures on what one was responsible and not responsible for, and you know what was good behavior and what wasn't. And this market didn't exist without any society around it. Indeed, there was a larger moral society about it, and that was important for the market to operate effectively. And honestly, I'm quite sympathetic to that approach and interpreting that in a modern economy as to what are our responsibilities. You know, what is the community we try to put around people? And where does that constrain our individual behavior? And when should it constrain our individual behavior? When should we be thinking about the well-being of others rather than the well-being of ourselves? And you know, one of the things that I actually think has the potential more than anything else to change the public conversation here is the growing concern over environment and over global warming, because you can't talk about those issues without talking about common good and common interest and the full community as opposed to the individual self-interest. So you actually, in that area, you see conversations where, you know, it is not always assumed that more is good and more is better, and that there's, you know, there are many, many good things about economic growth. We have all benefited from it, and there are many parts of the world that need yet to benefit from it. But for those of us, particularly in the United States, who are at a place of, in many cases, sufficiency, we need to think about what sufficiency means and what other measures we want to put for our own individual lives as well as for our community as to what does it mean to live a good life and to be in a good community.
Thank you.
know, in the old days, our economy was basically the local area around us by which, you know, carts and horses could travel with goods. So, you know, if it grew in that area, we could buy it. If someone in that area had the skill, we could access it. And that's the area in which we sold our skills as well. And, you know, that type of community has a lot to recommend it. It means that you really know, you know, you know the face of who's producing what you're buying, and they know your face. And you often might feel commitments to them beyond just the market buyer-seller commitments. You have other relationships to them. And, you know, when you open up markets that go beyond your individual reach and beyond your local community, it means that I actually can get vitamin C in the winter, even though I live in a northern climate. And that if I happen to have certain skills that maybe the person next door doesn't need, but someone in California needs, you know, well, I can still get paid for those skills and find a way to sell them. So, you know, it increases the economic possibilities, and that produces growth and produces wealth. But it does mean I then become much more divorced in the buyer-seller relationship. It becomes only a buyer-seller relationship. I have no idea what the face of this person is. And I think we have to understand that when we're in that economic relationship, we do have connections and commitments, and we have to see the face of those individuals as our neighbors, to go back to the theological language here of, you know, the neighbors to whom we have responsibilities. And we're not very good. I mean, our human selves are very limited to thinking about the community, the people we see around us. And we're not good about thinking about our responsibilities to people we might interact with in a very distant way, but don't know by face. You know, if you can't see their face, it's very hard for us as human beings to treat them as neighbors. And that's something we have to get better at if we're going to survive as a global economy and survive as an environment, even as, you know, sort of a functioning world.
To share your thoughts about the moral and spiritual dimensions of the current economic crisis, go to speakingoffaith.org.